This is the sixth day of this July 2008 seven-day session. And we'll take up a koan today. This is number 66 in the Blue Cliff record, or the Hekigan Roku. And it's called Yantao and the Koso Sword. Yantao, his Japanese name is Ganto, for people who may be familiar with that name. Yantao asked a monk, "Where are you from?" The monk said, "From the Western capital." Yantao said, "After the rebellion of Koso had been suppressed, did you get his sword?" The monk said, "Yes, I got it." Yantao stretched out his neck before the monk and gave a great yell. The monk said, "Your head has fallen." Yantao laughed loudly. Later, the monk visited Seppo. Shuifeng, let's give him his, stick with the Chinese. Later, the monk visited Shuifeng, who asked, Where did you come from?" The monk said, "From Yantao." Shuifeng said, "What did he say to you?" The monk recounted the preceding story. Shuifeng gave him 30 blows with a stick and drove him out. We do have some material on this Yantao. He lived in the 9th century, which placed him squarely in the great Tang dynasty. He was a disciple of Dushan or Toksan. As a young man, he studied the Vinaya, that's the monastic rules and regulations, and also the sutras. He traveled widely with his friends, Shuifeng, who's in the koan, and Qinshan. And then it was after that that he trained under Dushan and became his Dharma heir. And he went on to attract a large assembly of monks. Here's one story. These are the three brother monks, Yantao, Shuifeng, and Qinshan. They went traveling to visit Linqi, Rinzai, but they arrived just after Linqi had died. They then went to Mount Yang. Yantao entered the door, picked up a sitting cushion, and said to Zen Master Yangshan, "Master." Before Yangshan could raise his whisk into the air, Yantao said, "Don't hinder a practitioner." Yantao then went to train under Dushan. There, Yantao took a meditation cushion into the hall and stared at Dushan. Dushan said, "What are you doing?" Yantao shouted. Dushan said, "What is my error?" This is the master asking the student, "What is my error?" Yantao said, "Two types of koans." Yantao then went out. Dushan said, "This fellow seems to be on a special pilgrimage." The next day, during a question and answer period, Dushan asked Yantao, "Did you just arrive here yesterday?" Yantao said, "Yes." Dushan said, "Where have you trained to have come here with an empty head?" Yantao said, "For my entire life, I won't deceive myself." Dushan said, "In that case, you won't betray me." For my entire life, I won't deceive myself. The great Zhao Zhou, Joshu, was once asked, "What is the first principle of the one wearing Buddhist robes?" And Zhao Zhou said, "Not to deceive himself." when we become more intimate with our mind, our nature, we see how many are the devices of the mind and how wily the mind is, how subtle different forms of attachment to self play out in the mind. Not to deceive ourselves. One day when Yantao was training under Deshan, Yantao stood in the doorway and said to Deshan, "Sacred or mundane?" It's just a standard kind of opening to a Dharma duel. Sacred or mundane? Deshan shouted. Yantao vowed. Later a monk told Dongshan about this. Dongshan said, "If it wasn't Yantao, then the meaning couldn't be grasped." So it's he's praising Yantao there. And then Yantao said, "Old Dongshan doesn't know right from wrong. He's made a big error. At that time, I lifted up with one hand and pushed down with one hand." This is a koan in the Shoyoroku, the Book of Serenity. One day, Yantao was talking with his two brother monks, Shuifeng and Jinshan. And Shuifeng suddenly pointed at a basin of water. This is an invitation to respond. This is an invitation to his two brother monks. Jinshan said, "When the water is clear, the moon comes out." Shuifeng said, "When the water is clear, the moon does not come out." And then Yantao kicked over the basin and walked away. We can just appreciate this for a minute. The first response, when the water is clear, the moon comes out. This is a standard Zen symbolism. When the mind is clear, the moon of enlightenment shines brightly. But then, Shuifeng takes another look at it. When the water is clear, the moon does not come out. Beyond enlightenment and delusion. And then Yantao kicking over the basin. And then Yantao also was one of the main players in this famous koan where Shuifeng was working as the head cook, and one day the meal was a little late, and Deshan, the master, appeared carrying his bowl to the dining hall, and Shuifeng stepped outside and spotted Deshan and confronted him. He said, "The bell hasn't been rung and the drum hasn't sounded. Where are you going with your bowl?" And at that, the master just went back, turned around, and walked back to his room. Later, Shuifeng told Yantao about this incident. Yantao said, Great master though he is, he still hasn't grasped the last word of Zen. And then the master heard about this, and he summoned Yan Tao. And when Yan Tao came in, Deshan said, "Don't you approve of me?" Then Yan Tao leaned forward and whispered to Deshan. And then that was the end of the discussion. And then the next day, Deshan, the master, went into the hall and addressed the monks and was quite different in his talk. Afterward, Yan Tao went to the front of the monks' hall, clapped his hands, laughed out loud, and exclaimed, "Ah, at last the master has grasped the last word of Zen. Now no one will be able to get a rise out of him." As with so many koans, I guess most koans, this one is not what it appears to be. There's a whole subplot going on behind the script here. We can see this Yan Tao is a man of action and a great strong spirit. A monk came to him once and said, "What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West?" This is a standard opening question of, show me the truth. What is the highest truth? Yan Tao said, "When you move Mount Lu to this place, I'll tell you." And then the quite famous story of Yan Tao's death. He was living at a time of great chaos and violence, and this is near the end of the Tang Dynasty, and bandits were running amok everywhere, and there was some kind of a danger. Was the monastery recognized that there was danger now with the bandits approaching the temple, and they all left to hide in the forest. Yan Tao alone, as the abbot, stayed at the temple, sitting in zazen. One day, the head of the bandits came to the temple. He became enraged that there was nothing to steal there. So he took out his knife and stabbed Yan Tao. The account here says that Yan Tao remained composed, then let out a great cry and died. The sound was heard for 10 miles around, it says. This became a big problem for the great Hakuin. Hakuin heard this story, and he went into great questioning. This great Yan Tao, the legendary Yan Tao, how could such a great master have let out a scream when he was run through by this bandit? And well, after his own enlightenment, it was no longer a problem for Hakuin.
Just
a bit more here about that turmoil in China at the time. I'm reading now from all that other was from Zen's Chinese Heritage by Andy Ferguson. Now I'm turning to a book called Two Zen Classics, the Mumon Kan and the Hekigan Roku by Sekida. And he gives us a little more information here that sort of brings more vividly to us the conditions, the circumstances of this time of Ganto's later years. At the time of the decline and fall of the Tang Dynasty, the government, in an attempt to deal with a financial crisis, tried to levy unjustly heavy taxes. This may not be entirely irrelevant to our current time. Riots broke out, and there was this leader of a rebellious faction by the name of Koso. According to the records, quote, an object fell from heaven. It was found to be a sword, which bore the inscription, "Heaven gives this to Koso." From then on, Koso's group developed into a powerful force. In 880, Koso and his men seized the western capital of Chang'an. The emperor, who had been there, fled from the imperial palace, and his relatives, who failed to escape, were massacred. 4 years later, Koso was killed and his followers were subjugated. But other riots followed throughout the country. Towns and villages were plundered, and this unrest accelerated the fall of the Tang Dynasty. And that's when these bandits descended on the monastery of Yantao. And so now, the koan itself, the case. Yantao asked a monk, "Where are you from?" That too is a pretty standard opening question when a monk would meet the master. See how the monk handled himself. "Where are you from?" could be interpreted in different ways. The monk took it at face value. "I'm from the western capital, Chang'an." And now, Yantao sees an opening. After that rebellion there, under the general Koso and his men, after that had been suppressed, and Koso executed, did you get his sword? Well, we can. It's not giving away a lot of this koan to point out that he doesn't mean it literally. Have you got this sword of Manjushri? The monk said, "Yes, I got it." And at that, Yantao stretched out his neck before the monk and gave a great yell. Yantao wasn't satisfied with this. It wasn't taking at face value, on faith, what this monk said. Yes, I got it. All right, show me. And he gave a great yell. It's one of the points of the koan. What, in effect, was he saying to this monk when he gave his great yell with his neck stuck out? And the monk said, "Your head has fallen." Roshi Kepler used to say, in Zen practice, we come to do less talking and thinking and more acting and feeling. There's a lot to that statement. To do a lot less talking and thinking and a lot more feeling and acting is to have gone quite far, actually, in Zen. That's why Zen is the school of direct experience, unmediated by thoughts and concepts. The ordinary person, though, is bogged down most of the time in thoughts and concepts. There's this constant dialogue going on in the mind, and you see it in their inability to respond when a response is called for. You can be sure no matter how far advanced you may think someone is in their practice, if they're in a situation where they're called to respond and something is needed, whether it's just being aware that someone is walking toward a doorway and they have their hands full and just naturally opening the door for them, or something having fallen down or encountering something and the scrap of paper or something and picking it up without any thought, responding to someone in distress, reaching out with a helping hand when it's needed. You see this as Sesshin goes on, how people, the whole divider moving operation, people become more responsive, more alert, ready to just spring into action when something is needed. This is the sign of an unfettered mind. Without as Yeats, I think, the poet said, without our mind forged manacles in place, we come alive. This is what practice is all about. But we can do years of practice without reaching this point, even people who've been sitting for a long time can still not be able to respond in this way. They're still bogged down in this internal chatter, conceptualizing things, intellectualizing. You don't necessarily see the fluidity in someone, a senior practitioner, that you would want to see. The koans, among many other things, are meant to unstick us from this mental bog and get us to do less talking and thinking and more acting and feeling. love these words of T.S. Eliot. Between the idea and the reality, between motion and act, falls the shadow. Between conception and creation, between emotion and response, falls the shadow. When we're out in public life, when we're at a supermarket or in an airport or somewhere where there are lots of people moving about, how free can we be to respond to some situations? Someone's carrying a pulling a suitcase in some tight thing. How quick are we to respond to what's needed? Clear the way or help the person. In the larger sense, this is what the whole point of our practice is, to be able to reach out and help. After the rebellion had been suppressed, did you get his sword? Yes, I got it. And then the yell, your head has fallen. You can hear we're told that Lin Chi had died just as Yantao, just before Yantao arrived at his monastery. Can hear in this response of the monks, your head has fallen, Lin Chi's warning: to speak of a thing is to miss the mark. And this response of the monk, Yantao, laughed loudly. And then the scene shifts to some other time and place. It just says later. Later, the monk visited Shui Feng, who, remember, is the brother monk of Yantao. And Shui Feng asked, same question, where did you come from? And the monk again, taking it straight, said, from Yantao's place. Shui Feng said, what did he say to you? And the monk told the story that we just heard. And at that, Shui Feng gave him 30 blows with a stick and drove him out. Why? He just says the monk recounted the story. Why did Shui Feng drive him out? I think of this wonderful saying from the 12-step program. Someone told me, when I'm in my head, I'm in a dangerous neighborhood. It helps in our practice to literally get out of our head, that is, to find our center in our center, the hara region. Because so long as we are centered in the head, then we will have this kind of tendency to falter when action or emotional response is called for. You can almost feel it physically, the difference between having your thoughts buzzing in your head and having finding your mind, your center of attention, your gravity, your center of gravity lower in the belly. That the head clears out, opens up, and one then is present, responsive, unhesitating. This is not just some aptitude we're either born with or we're not born with. This is what comes through training. A situation comes up, we're stuck, we don't respond. Okay, we learn something from it. If we keep doing zazen, of course, this is the best thing, rather than just trying to learn a lesson in our head. But if we keep sitting and notice when we fall short of the response that's needed, then we eventually, some people it takes a lot longer than other people, eventually we find ourselves responding as needed. It's always ironic that Zen practice does seem to attract our share, or more than our share, of people who tend to toy with thoughts and concepts and be stuck in thoughts and concepts. But that's nothing we ever have to simply resign ourselves to. And it doesn't take Zen training. You just see people in life generally who have this this responsiveness, who you know are not sitting and weaving thoughts about a situation, but are right there, present, ready to move. Simple-minded people tend to be more this way. Even uneducated people, they got less that's been pumped in there that they have to get rid of. Now the best thing anyone can do is forget about this whole Teisho. Just flush it out of your mind. But get into this practice. Get into the hara. Our time is up now. We'll stop and recite the four vows.